Welcome back to Arts Avenue with Tiffany Steele. Hi, I'm Tiffany, and we are about to update you on what is going on Otterbein University's campus. Jeff and Michael's senior recital happening this Friday, March 16th at 8 p.m. in Riley Auditorium in Battelle is something that you do not want to miss out on. Jeff Gear is a BM in voice, and he's graduating class of 2019, and Michael Grimm is a BME, which is music education. He's graduating in 2018. They are having their senior vocal performance. And they're here with us in the studio to talk a little bit about what's going to happen, what you're going to hear, and some of the background stuff that we don't get to see leading up to it. So, Hi, Jeff. Hi, Michael. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I cannot complain.
That's good. So, you guys getting nervous as it's getting up to the big event?
You know, it's kind of funny. I get that question a lot, and it's kind of odd because I have to tell people that I really just don't get stage fright. It's, like, never been a problem for me. I've been doing music since I was in middle school, and I've just never had a problem with it. So people were always like, oh, wink, wink, you're getting a little nervous. And I'm like, nope, I've never felt. And they're like, okay. And they think that they get really indignant. And I'm like, well, sorry about
it. I mean, that's going to be good, though.
Yeah, it's very good. It's kind of bad because in real life, I also don't get as nervous. So I say some choice things. You've hung out with me a few times.
But, yes, I can attest to that one. Uh-huh. But what about you, Michael?
I wouldn't say that I get like huge amounts of stage fright. Performing has been a pretty major part of my life since elementary school.
Wow.
Now just the occasional, oh gosh, am I going to remember this German lyric?
That's so true.
Especially in German. Mm-hmm. Well, you both just mentioned, I was about to actually ask how you started off with music. You both said elementary school, correct?
I said middle school. I did things in elementary school, but I didn't really start getting into music until my middle school year.
Okay. What about you? You
said earlier, actually, 3 years old.
Wow.
I started piano lessons at the ripe young age of three.
Nice.
And then continued into choir in fourth grade, majoring in it now, and then continued into band in college.
Very cool. And what about you, Jeff?
I started out doing choir in middle school. You know, I did like the general music classes in elementary school, but it didn't really kick off for me until middle school choir. And I got involved with the middle school musicals. And then that transitioned into high school when I did the plays and choir itself. And I decided in college that I wanted to take more of a musical approach than a theater approach. So I started out in marketing when I came to college, but okay. I changed to music because it just didn't seem to suit me. And the rest is history. And now we're here.
That's awesome. And you both said, as you were talking about, it was kind of reminding me, you were saying you went to the classical route versus theater.
Yeah.
So this, can you tell me a little bit about the concert? What are we going to expect to hear? What should the audience expect? Things like that.
Beautiful, dulcet vocal tunes.
Wow, you like warm yourself up there.
Listen, I'm just telling them what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a really good recital. I'm going to sing good. Very well. Mikey G even better, if I may say. I know the man very well.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Mikey G. Mm-hmm. What's the type? So you classical, correct?
Right. I'm doing mostly classical, some of the romantic era, and some neoclassical stuff.
Okay.
So I'm opening with a set of Mozart arias from his operas, following that with some Brahms art song. And then closing with Lee Hoiby, who's a somewhat more contemporary composer, late 20th century, early 21st century.
Oh, great.
Writes a lot of really cool dissonant piano and vocal stuff. A lot of it is, it derives its text from American literature oftentimes.
Oh, very cool. Okay, and what about you, Jeff?
Well, I'm opening up my set with a piece from an oratorio from Handel's Samson.
Okay.
Total Eclipse. It's a well-known tenor-like bit of oratorio. And then I have a set of Art Song by Bellini. And then I have a French romantic set from a bunch of various composers. And then a English romantic set from another group of composers. There's a lot of them, so I didn't want to name them all, but they're all really good, and they're all from the romantic era. It's kind of odd when you do things like this, because everyone's like, oh, it's classical music, but it's more in-depth than just classical, because all the different eras have, they're all, air quotes, classical, but they all have their own different things based, if you just are a music person, you know the little differences, not to sound condescending about it.
No, but well, speaking of classical, so I actually interviewed a couple weeks ago Sasha Nevarov with her piano recital, and we kind of talked about how classical is not a dying art, but still needs to, but isn't, in a sense. It still needs to be heard. It's something that gives us the basis for everything.
True.
So when you were picking your pieces, did that kind of cross your mind with that idea? Were you really looking to, like, maybe people don't listen to classical, but the people who come are, you know, trying to get them involved with that or educated by that as well? Because I know you mentioned you also are doing a contemporary, some contemporary
right,
pieces.
Yeah. Some of what went through my mind was making sure I include some of the best of the great Little C mm-hmm. classical composers. Mm-hmm. But I also, in picking Hoiby, wanted to challenge the notion of how mm-hmm. we perceive classical music and what we define as classical music. So true. The second to last piece I'm doing is called Last Letter Home, written by Hoiby. And it's this very dissonant, almost unmetered feeling vocal piece about a U.S. Army soldier who was killed in service.
Oh, wow.
And the text is taken from a letter he wrote to his wife, son, and then unborn son.
Oh, wow.
Of all the life advice he wanted to share with them. Mm-hmm. But it the theme and just general musical aspects of it go very much counter to how we've been taught to perceive classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to push some boundaries.
That'll be awesome. You're going to make everyone cry. You're going to go in the audience, make us all cry. No, I think that's really interesting. And like I said, I mean, I'm not a big fan of classical, which coming from me, it's kind of funny because we all know I'm in choir with you guys and everything. But I mean, I get it from some people. They're not big fans of classical. That's something like I'll either listen to study or things like that. But I think it is important to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But along with the contemporary pieces, which it would be really interesting to hear with that side of it, what did you guys... What was your first initial thought, though, putting together your sets? Was there anything, like, you had practiced for years, you're like, I gotta show this, or is it what can best vocalize my voice, or things like that?
I have a few from my set, specifically this piece, Le Colibri. It's from my French romantic set, and when I first came into the music department, I wasn't a big fan of classical music myself, but I took an art song literature class my sophomore year as I came in. And there was a bunch of songs that they did, but specifically this piece, Le Colibri, really just fell really well on my ears, and I immediately took it to my voice teacher. I was like, I've got to do this song. And so I've had it in my back pocket forever, and I figured with my recital coming up, I'd like to show it because the text is really good. It's about, Le Colibri means the hummingbird, and it basically is a scene describing a hummingbird going from flower to flower and drinking the nectar, but the underlying meaning of it is kind of like the beauty of the world and the beauty of people, and how by going from flower to flower you get each instance of a person's life or a little bit of the world that you don't get to see. And so a combination of the text and just the rich like texture of the entire thing really sort of sold me on classical music, and so I wanted to really include it in my recital.
Wow. I feel like you guys are really going to move the audience already just hearing a couple of these of what you guys are going to do. Speaking of doing the choir, the concert together, how did that come? So I know some people do it by themselves. I think it depends on who you are type of thing. How did it come? I know people do it together. How did you guys come to do
it
together?
Well, it's actually funny. So technically this is my junior recital.
Okay.
And we both had to do a half recital. And at first, I couldn't find a recital partner, and I was just trying to do a solo one because I know that a couple other people that were in my position were trying to do solo recitals as well. But they wouldn't let me, and they were like, well, why don't you ask young Michael Grimm? And I was like, Michael Grimm, that's a stand-up gentleman. I could get behind that. So I asked, because he already had a time scheduled, so I was like, could I just join in on your recital? It would be a good collaboration. And he said, well, I'll let you take it from here. But basically, he said that, basically, we all signed up together, and he was cool with me joining him on the recital, and the rest is history.
Very cool. I was really looking forward to it. Yeah. I was really excited to see that email from him that
day. I won't deny, I was nervous. I was like, there's no way he's going to let me be on his recital. And I don't know why.
I was thrilled to see it. I had been really searching for a recital partner for mine and had struggled, so I was thrilled to see that message from Jeff.
Well, I'm really glad that actually brings a lot of solace to me because I was worried that I was just being a real inconvenience on the recital.
Never. That'll be great, though. I think it'll be a good mixture of different voices and different music stuff. Like, yes, it's interesting. You guys both ended up having more romantic ideas in mind, but I still think it would be a good mixture with like the contemporary and the French piece and stuff like that.
Also, speaking of the different voices, it's kind of interesting that I learn with Helen Allen, and Mikey's taught by Robert Bucks, and so you can, if you observe something like that, you could potentially even see the differences in our technique based on our voice teachers. I don't know if you have anything to say on it, Mikey, but
yeah, I'm really interested to see that perspective coming from very different voices.
Yeah.
You being a tenor, me being a bass baritone that's still kind of shifting around in range. Helen, of course, is a phenomenal soprano, and then Robert Bucks is sometimes a tenor, sometimes a baritone. He has performed really well in both roles.
Kind of like a Daniel Near in that sense, if you remember him.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be an interesting mix. You guys were saying before, as we said, we talked about classical music and things like that and how you guys came together to do this. Now, are you guys with each other when you're rehearsing this, or have you just been like rehearsing separately? Oh, gosh.
It's actually funny you should mention it. So I'm working with an accompanist named Irma.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name because it's some sort of Asian and I just would butcher it. That's not what I meant.
It's okay. I'm some sort of Asian, too.
Oh, God.
But the problem is that she's very busy. She's a piano teacher and she's very involved with her community. Like she teaches a lot of students in her area. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really a big headache for a while because Mikey G was free a lot and I was free a lot and everyone was free a lot, but she was not. And so I've been trying to schedule around her. So we've had very few rehearsals together, actually.
Wow. So you guys are, have either of you heard every piece of each other's set at all?
I actually haven't heard one of Mikey
G's
set pieces.
So will it be more of like when Friday comes, you're like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, we'll kind of find out then. Get to enjoy each other's music very organically as if we were in the audience.
That's great. That I feel like that's going to be really fun, though, for both of you to just enjoy it. I feel like it'll take more of a pressure off.
Honestly, I kind of like the aspect, too, because it's kind of like a hype of it's like...
Yeah.
So, like, I'm pretty sure you start the recital, right, Mikey? No, I do.
I think you do.
I start.
Yeah.
Doing well, guys.
But I'll come out, and hopefully I'll come back, and he'll be like, oh, that was so good. And then he'll go out, and I'll hear it for the first time, and he'll come back, and like, dude, that was so great. And we'll just hopefully keep hyping each other up as it goes on, like, oh, that was such a good set. Oh, well, look at you, sir, with that set. Oh, but the set prior. Oh,
That'll be great. And also the audience, of course, gives you energy as you're doing something.
It's looking to be a big turnout.
That's great.
So I've been told. I know a lot of my friends have been telling me that they want to be coming, and I can only imagine, Michael, that you have a lot of people coming too.
I do. A lot of my family from Cincinnati, some folks I volunteer with, a number of my students from student teaching are coming.
Cool.
I'm told.
Yeah,
that will be so cool. Well, I hope you guys have a great concert. I kind of just two more questions. So one, I know you guys have to, you've mentioned earlier, you have to do this recital as part of your major.
But we also get to do it.
And you also get to do it. And that's what I was going to ask is what is that? Why do you think these are important? Because I know some people can view it as, oh my gosh, I have to do it. It's a grade. Or others view it as I get to do this. So why do you think these are important?
I think for me, the two main reasons why it's important is one, with classical music, it is kind of stylized in the sense that there are rules that must be followed. And I think that from an audience perspective, it can kind of be an educational thing because you have to know, I forget who said it, but there's a great quote that says, in order to break the rules, you must first know the rules. And so if you want to step into the realm of, say, contemporary jazz, it's very good to have this classical background because you sort of know like a loose general idea of how things can be arranged. But because it's contemporary, there's a lot more room for it to bend. And also, it's a good chance to expose people to different culture. You know, I feel like we're kind of in a music world where it's a lot of indie and a lot of rap and R&B, and you don't really see a lot of different stuff besides that, even on the air. And so it's a good chance for those fans of that style to come out and see it, and those who may not normally see it have a free chance, an educational chance to learn a little more about it.
That's great. What do you think, Mikey?
Yeah, I would echo that 100%. I'm excited to be able to showcase classical music to people that might not otherwise want to come out and see it and show them that it's not this big, stuffy, elitist thing that we're sometimes guilty of making it. That classical music really can be for everybody. It's not just it boring, slow things. It's fun and can challenge your definitions of music.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. There are very few times in the past 5 years that I've heard a song that I was moved to tears, but I'll be going through classical repertoire and romantic repertoire, and almost all the time I feel some sort of deep emotion, and I feel like that's also part of it, is it really brings out that emotion in the piece, because was one of the big emphases of the time, is part of either before the classical era, where it was to the glory of God, or when it became to the glory of the human race. But there's really deep emotion stirring within all these pieces.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the last letter home, I have yet to get through a rehearsal without tears coming to my eyes. So if you like crying, this is a good recital to be at.
The great recital. Well, what can you say as our last parting word? If you had like one, if you could only encourage audience to come, what do you either want them to get from this, or what would you say to get them there?
To quote the great Kanye West,
oh, gosh.
Classical music is tight, yo.
And that's the end. That's all we need. Mic drop, everything.
Honestly, I don't even need to make a retort.
There we go. Well, thank you, Michael and Jeff, for being on. It's very
fun. Thanks for having us.
We hope that you have a great show this coming Friday. If you guys want to go see it, it's free and open to the public.
Free and open. However, seats may be filling up fast, so be there a little early.
Yeah, be there a little early. Jeff and Michael's recital is this Friday, March 16th, 8 p.m., Riot Auditorium in Battelle. Mm-hmm. Get there early, as Jeff just said. You don't want to miss out on this. It'll be a very intense show, but I think a very fun show as well, knowing you two. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, we really appreciate it.
And make sure you tune in next time for Arts Avenue as we explore whatever is coming up next on Auburn University's campus.